looked at everything, and as I thought about what we talked about last week, and last week talked about how some stars just shine brighter than others, and actually the last few days I've taken opportunity when I could to go out and just look at the sky, the night sky, and just look at the stars. And I've seen it at different times of the night. I mean, at 4 o'clock in the morning, it looks a little different than it does at 10 o'clock at night. And you realize those things. And as I've taken those moments and put it all together, you know, and then we thought, thinking about what's happening tomorrow with the eclipse and how tomorrow everybody's up in arms and everybody's all excited about the eclipse. The real thing about it is that, I mean, you know, what happens in an eclipse is that the moon, if this is the sun here and this is the moon and y'all are the earth, the moon passes through the path of the sun's light. And it's only going to take a couple minutes, but, you know, for that to actually happen, for the actual crossing, it'll take, I think, about an hour, hour and a half. But where people are going to see a total eclipse, they're going to see maybe about, I think it's 2 to 5 minutes of totality where the moon is completely covering the sun and all you see is just the ring around the edges. And as I've looked at some of that and thought about some of that over the last week, I've come across a couple of different things saying that the moon's orbit around the earth actually gets a little bit farther every year. And so eventually, and I don't know that we'll live to see this, but eventually we will no longer have a total solar eclipse because the moon is getting farther away from the earth. And as the moon gets farther away from the earth, the smaller it's going to seem in the sky, to the point where I find it quite interesting that as of right now, the moon is 400 times closer to the earth than the sun. And the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, which makes them appear the exact same size in the sky. And yet people still question whether there's a God. They still question whether, if it's put together that perfectly within our solar system, imagine how perfectly our bodies are put together. But that being said, I want to go into week two of this total eclipse series. And what I want us to look at in this today, this was originally planned to be the third sermon in the series, but as I looked over some things and looked over everything, I kind of switched the second and third. Today I was going to talk about how we can avoid eclipsing Christ for others, but I feel like we need to talk about avoiding eclipsing Christ in our lives before we can think about that side of things. And the reason for that is because I feel like today we need to understand that we need to know what causes Christ to be eclipsed in our lives. So, you know, we need to know what causes the sun, S-O-N, to be eclipsed in our lives before we can figure out how we won't do it for others. Because if we don't know what does it for us, then we definitely won't know where we might cause someone else trouble and where we might cause someone else a heartache or a difficult time. You know, John 15:7, I think, is a good verse for us to look at here today. I want to go to John 15 and start here. And we'll talk about some other scriptures throughout the sermon this morning. But I want to look at it in a different way. Today, the sun needs to be very apparent in our lives. The sun needs to be completely involved in our lives. I mean, the sun, S-U-N, sun, that we walk out the door and we see, and everything that we're talking about with a total eclipse over the next few days, we need the sun for survival. If the moon stayed in front of the sun for an entirety, I mean, for more than it does in a total eclipse, they're already talking about the things that it will do with the environment. The animals will go crazy. They'll start to think it's night rather than day. There's different things that happen during this eclipse that will take place, and it all throws things into kind of it throws things a little off kilter. That's where this comes in. See, this is a perfect sphere. It's together, it could roll, it could do all kinds of things, but when things start to fall apart, And if I can find out which one there. When things start to come apart and we start to see life a little differently, things start to become a little bit less than what we thought they were. You know, things start to change in front of our eyes, and there's really only one way for life to be put together, right? And as the pieces start to come apart and things start to become difficult for us in life, once we start losing some pieces, the rest of them just kind of fall apart on their own to the point where everything comes into pieces. And as we go through this morning, this doesn't roll well, this doesn't sit well, this doesn't do anything but sit here in pieces. And as our lives do that, I think what we need to understand is that the greatest need we have in our life today is for Christ to be a part of it. The greatest need we have is for the Son to be visible. And that is talking, whether we're talking about the environment and the Son, or whether we're talking about the Son of God in Jesus Christ. So John 15:7, it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Let me read that one more time for you this morning. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will, and it shall be done for you." Now the next verse says, "By this my Father will be glorified." And we can go into what that means, but really, let's just focus on that one verse for right now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. The greatest need for Christians today is to develop a higher spiritual discipline of abiding in Christ and His Word. We must abide in Christ and His Word. Now, as we go through this morning, what I want us to understand is that, you know, most studies only show that around 5% of those who make decisions at crusades for Christ, at churches, only about 5% of those continue their walk with, like, Christ 5 years later. If they go to these big conventions and they're saved at this convention, at these big get-togethers, only about 5% of them continue their walk after 5 years. Something's wrong there. Something's not right about having a big crusade for Christ and then somebody not retaining anything, but there's no follow-up. They don't understand what it means to abide. They've heard a message. They've either made a decision because they thought it was cool, or whatever the case might be, but somewhere along the way, they've fallen away from a decision they made. Now, this doesn't happen in a church necessarily, because in a church, we've got people who are there who are supporting, who are continuing to push, who are continuing to love, and continuing to show day in and day out. Even though it's great to be able to think and reason biblically and with biblical accuracy, there's something even more important, and that is abiding in Jesus. We've had a lot of discussion about what this scripture means and what that scripture means lately. And, you know, there's been conversations during church, conversations after church, conversations before church, conversations. Pat and I have had many conversations about what this scripture and that scripture means. I've had conversations with Blake, with Joe. I've had conversations with Ernie. I've had conversations with many of you about what a scripture might mean. I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't mean a hill of beans if you don't abide in Christ. You can know all you want about Scripture, but are you abiding in Christ today? Many of the things that we think we need are symptomatic of the actual serious problem that we have. And that problem is that there is a deeper need to know, to commune, to fellowship with the Lord on a moment-by-moment basis. Now, y'all need to hear me out this morning, because this might be a difficult topic for us to breach. But I want to try to do it in a way where we understand what God is and what He is doing in our lives. Most Christians many Christian leaders, I'm gonna put myself on the spot this morning, so this may be a difficult sermon to preach, but many Christian leaders know how to write, preach, teach, organize. They know how to develop evangelistic strategies and administer programs, but many of them have forgotten one thing that we see in Scripture, and that is to pray without ceasing. Now, I have to admit, there are times when I get wrapped up in the structure of things and forget to pray along the way. John Piper wrote several years ago at a North American seminary, 50 students planning to go overseas in ministry for the summer were interviewed for their suitability. Only three of those, which is 6%, remember this, only three of those could testify regular quiet times of reading the Bible and devoting themselves to prayer. Out of 50 students who were ready to go overseas, ready to go and minister, three could testify that they regularly read the Bible and devoted themselves to prayer. Something is wrong with that, but I believe that's evident of the society we are in today. You know, we assume that our pastors and missionaries are the models, and we would be shocked. I will guarantee you right now, I could name ministers. I'm not going to. But I can tell you right now, I don't always allow myself the opportunity to read and to study like I should. I don't always do the pray without ceasing thing because I get wrapped up in the totality of what is taking place and I allow the sun to be eclipsed in my life sometimes. I allow myself to get out of that mentality. And each one of us sitting here today can probably think about that within our own lives. Do we forget, or do we allow the sun to be covered by something else in our lives today? We need to develop a maturity with our prayer life. We need to progress daily. And we need something that will transform us, that will deepen us and purify us with the mind and power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, I need to say this today, that Jesus provides us with a conditional promise in this verse. Now, not very often. Now, his love is very much unconditional. But there is a conditional promise within this verse, and that is if we want to see our prayers answered, if we want to see the prayers that we are praying answered, that we need to abide in him and let his word abide in us. Do you hear me today? Do you understand what I'm saying today? That we need to allow his word to take hold in our lives. We must abide in him and allow his word to abide within us. That means to cling to him. That means that we should grasp on. That means that his word should be clung to with trust, obedience, and communion with God. That we should look for these opportunities to find that in our lives. Why? 2 Peter 3:18 tells us why. 2 Peter 3:18 says, so that we can grow more in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to grow today? Now, this sermon's going to be a little different than some of the sermons that I've preached before. But do you want to grow today? Why do we need to abide in him and allow his word to abide in us so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? This means that we need to find ways to incorporate greater quantity and quality of private prayer. Prayer we pray at church isn't going to cut it for you throughout the week. The prayer that you might pray on a Sunday morning, you can't just pray on Sunday morning and hope that it's going to get you through to next Sunday morning. You can't come in, pray three times a week. Folks, we need to be in constant prayer. There's a reason that Paul told the Thessalonian church to pray without ceasing. You know, we need a greater quantity and quality of private prayer. We need a greater quantity and quality of small group prayer, where we get together with one another and pray over the little things. We need a greater quantity and quality of congregational prayer, fasting and prayer, praise prayer, confessional prayer, requisitional prayer, intercessional prayer, healing prayer, institutional prayer. Folks, I could make a list of all the different types of prayer we need. Let's just put it in one. We need prayer. Plain and simple. We need to pray for our schools. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our officials. We need to pray for the country that we are in. We need to pray for the community that we live in. We need to pray for our county. We need to pray for this church. We need to pray for the church's leaders. We need to pray for the students at the schools. We need to pray for the schools themselves, the staffs at the schools. We need to pray. I can list you a number of different things we need to pray for, but what it really comes down to is we need to pray. Plain and simple. I don't need to list things out. Pray without ceasing. Everything. In everything. In everything, pray. So let's look at a list of things this morning. I want to take a look at a list of things this morning that I think it is necessary for us to abide in God, abide in Christ. And as I do that, I want to show you what happens when we start to abide. You know, if we want to be what God wants us to be, it's necessary to abide in Him. If we want to be what God wants us to be, it is necessary for us to remain, to dwell, to gain nourishment through Him. If we want to be what God wants us to be, it's necessary for us to allow Him to put the pieces together in certain ways. Now, as we go through this morning, we need to understand how much time and effort do we spend memorizing and meditating on the actual Scripture itself? How much time do you spend looking at the Word and studying it and allowing it to become part of who you are? Joshua tells us in Joshua 1:8, "This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it night or day and night, so that you may be careful to do, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now that doesn't, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel with that, but I can't deny what the Scripture says. I can't deny what it says here in Joshua 1:8, where it says that if you meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do, for then you will make your way prosperous. If we are following the way of God, if we are allowing His way within us, it doesn't matter what the world throws at us, because we're going to want for our lives what is best for Him. Am I right? If He has a plan that He wants to see succeed in us, and we make the choice to walk away from that plan is no longer an option for us to fulfill. Because God needs someone who is willing to stand up and say, "Here am I, send me." Because He's not going to force us to do something that He thinks needs to be done. It's very rare that we see God intercede in that way. But it's very rare that we see someone who is willing to take a stand on the Scripture. You know, the best way to allow Jesus to abide in you is by allowing His Word to fill your mind, to fill your heart, to fill your soul and your emotions. And His perspective is what will come through. Folks, it tells us in Philippians 2, let the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. But notice it says the word let. It says let this same mind be in you. It means that we have to actually say, "I need to put that mind on." We need to let it happen. And when we let it happen, then we follow the way that God has intended for us to go. And we follow the path that He has set out for us today. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Here's that word again, let. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all according to His will. Allow it to take hold in you today. The branch can't bear fruit unless it gains all the minerals, the nutrients, and the support from the vine. And too many times we take our relationship with Jesus for granted, and we fail to appropriate the rich reservoir of what it means. We fail to get the proper nutrients of resources because they're available to those who want to gain a deeper relationship. But too many times we're ready to uproot and move on before we've reached maturity. You know, to meditate means to have a mental, spiritual, and emotional embrace of God's Word. When we meditate on God's Word, it means that we understand it emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and mentally. But, you know, one of the best comparisons that we can think of is a cow. A cow has four stomachs, and when it chews up the grass, it goes to the first stomach. You know, when it goes to that first stomach, that first stomach is for nutrients. So when the cow chews, and then, you know, you talk about cows chewing and cutting. I'm not trying to get gross with the sermon today, but what we need to understand is that's after it's already absorbed many of the nutrients. Because that's part of the digestion process. That's part of how it works for a cow. You know, so for us, we need to take time, energy, and focus and put it on God's Word and allow it adequate time to renew and recharge and reconstruct our minds. We need to put it in that first stomach, so to speak, and allow its nutrients to take hold. Allow its nutrients. We need to chew over it a couple more times. We need to let it happen. The second thing I want us to see this morning is to let Jesus abide in us means that we allow Him to speak to us. We allow Him to speak to us. Through the Holy Spirit, He convicts us. He redirects us and He reminds us that there's a certain thing that needs to happen in our lives. He reminds us there's a certain way that things need to fit together. And as we start to see these things happen, and we start to see these things take hold in our lives, and this may be a terrible example if I forget how to do this, but what we see is it's not merely enough to think about His Word. It's not merely enough for us to think about what He's saying and doing. We need to allow Him to be the one that puts us together. We need to allow Him to be the one who takes an opportunity to show us the right way to go. We need to allow Him to, you know, take hold. We need to allow Him to show us that path. Because things start to come together when we do. But what we see is it's not enough merely to think about His Word. It's not enough for us just to merely allow His Word to be heard. We've got to allow it to transform us. We also have to allow Jesus Christ and His Word to frame our priorities, to frame our perceptions. We have to allow His Word to infiltrate us in a certain way, in a certain mindset. You know, this means allowing the principles of Christ and His Word to predominate our way of thinking. Abiding in Christ means that we are relying on His promises. It means that we are relying on the words that He has for us. We must allow Jesus Christ and His Word to give us authority and power. Do we hear that today? We must allow Jesus and His Word to give us authority and power and confidence that we are backed by the Creator of this universe. When we have that power, look at the disciples in Acts. The things that they did, the miracles they worked, the way that things happened, you know, the disciples knew they had that power behind them. Christ abiding in us is interchangeable with His words abiding in us because Christ never comes out and He never comes without the authoritative Word. He always spoke authoritatively. We were always given that opportunity. But when we block Christ out in our lives, when we allow Him to become eclipsed in our lives, we find that things have taken a different turn. Abiding in Christ means that we are celebrating our fellowship with Him. It means that we are celebrating. In 2 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore." We are celebrating all of that. We are celebrating the fact that there is fellowship not with just God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but us. There are four in that fire. There have always been four in the fire. Think about that for a moment. In the Old Testament, we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as they faced the fire, there was a fourth man who was walking in that fire with them. Folks, there have always been four in the fire today. Because any fire and test you go through, you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all right there with you, going through that together. You have four in the fire all the time. When you're going through the trials, when you're going through the tests, the greater fellowship, the more we will realize the richness and the available opportunities for these dimensions within our lives. Abiding in Christ means that we find our primary fulfillment in Him. Jesus said, you have a choice. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10 tells us that today. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when we see that today, what does that mean to us? Do whatever is necessary to keep the living voice of Jesus speaking with you through the words that He spoke in Scriptures, through the way that He spoke in the Scriptures to you today. Did Jesus open the door for you physically, mentally, spiritually? What way did you see Him move in you today? What way have you seen Him do for you today? It's not supposed to happen. But what ways do we see Him move today in our lives? What are some things that you can honestly say that you have been without? What are some things that you have been with? What are some things that will show you today the path that you need to be on? Because what we see in this life today is this, that we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who wants to show us His will for our lives. And we serve a God who wants us to understand that there are ways that this life should come together. There are ways that this life should be worked out within us. There are ways that we can see this life move and be done in a mighty way today for us. Because when God starts putting the pieces together, they start to fit just a little bit better. When Christ starts to do this thing and He starts to work in us, when we allow Him, we need to prepare ourselves each day. Because as we set aside those moments and we set aside those difficult times, He puts the pieces all right back together. And they come back. And we're allowed to function as we originally were functioning. You see, when we take the time to set aside to read His Word, to talk with our Heavenly Father about His plans, His purposes, His power for each of life's activities, for each of life's responsibilities, for each of life's relationships, He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, not just the little ones, not just the big ones, not just the middle-sized ones. You know, sometimes we think everything's too big for God, and sometimes we think it's too small. The reality is that He says pray without ceasing for a purpose. But He also tells us that He wants to be a part, because we can do nothing apart from Him of any eternal significance. There is nothing significant about what you and I can do within ourselves. Nothing. There's not one thing. We can't become what we're supposed to be without somebody knowing how to put us together. Right? I mean, I could have given this to any of you today and said, here, do this. Take it apart, hand it to you, and just give you a bunch of pieces. But the illustration here is this. This comes together only in one way. It only can be put together in one way. There's not really any other way to do it. And yeah, we may have difficulty. Yeah, sometimes the pieces may fall out. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't all seem right. But when it comes together the way it should, when we've allowed Him to do the work and we've not eclipsed Him in our lives, it comes together and it becomes what it's supposed to be. And it'll do what it's supposed to do. We need to memorize His words so that we can repeat, reiterate, and review. I mean, Jesus did that. He memorized God's word. The devil came upon Him 40 days in the desert. He says, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. He tells him to throw himself off of a temple, and Jesus says that you're not supposed to have any other gods, that you're not supposed to put the Lord to your test. He tested Jesus. He tried to get Him to bow down. He tried to get Him to jump off a temple. He tried to get Him to do 100 things probably. I don't know. There's only 3 mentioned. But we see those trials, and then Satan walks away because he's been defeated. Because when God's word's involved, there's nothing Satan can do. When God's word is involved, there is nothing Satan can do. But when we eclipse God's word, and that is what he's trying to do in your life every day. He's trying to eclipse God's word. He's trying to pass in front of the sun in your life. And many times we allow it to take hold. We allow those moments to happen. We allow little things to take a place that should never have been taken. Maybe it's a drink. Maybe it's a drug. Maybe it's material things. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a relationship. Whatever it might be, we allow it to take precedence over the one who gave us life. We allow it to take precedence over those things in our lives today. And here's the thing. Paul wrote, praying at all times in the Spirit. We pray a lot without the Spirit. We pray a lot about the selfish needs that we have. We're more subject to feelings of defeat, depression, and discouragement in our lives today because we have allowed those moments to happen without God at the helm. Because we have prayed for things, but we just didn't look at it the right way. We have prayed for things, but the Spirit was not in it. If we're not praying in the Spirit or allowing the Spirit to work through us today, are we really doing it the right way? Are we really exploring life with the Spirit at hand? Or have we allowed the devil to eclipse Him in some way? Have we allowed Him to be eclipsed in our lives? Are we praying out of selfish want? Or are we praying out of the needs that the Spirit shows us? Are we praying to a God that we've designed? Or are we praying to the God that created us, who knows about us and wants us to pray to Him in His Spirit? I heard someone tell me that they didn't think our prayers even got anywhere anyway. I don't remember if it was a conversation here or what it might be. It may have been another pastor that I was talking with one day, but he said something about, to the effect, he said, the Lord's never heard my prayer. And I asked him what he meant. He said, because when I pray, the Spirit intercedes, and that's the prayer the Lord hears. So the Lord hears what He needs to hear from me through the Spirit when I pray in the Spirit, because my selfishness and my words are not conveyed. He said, the Spirit prays on my behalf when I pray. He said, that doesn't mean I'm not praying to God. That just means that the Spirit is interceding and translating to God my needs and my desires. And that Spirit is God interceding on our behalf. It made sense, and it still does. But the thing we got to understand is there's a lot of things within us today that we need to understand about God. Allowing the Word of God to shape our thinking, our attitude, our values, and all aspects of our life and our relationships. You know, there might be a blind spot that we have today that we've not been made aware of, a weakness that until we have allowed the light of God's Word to shine into our lives today that we don't know is there. How many times have we allowed God's Word to shed light on us and then all of a sudden it clicks? All of a sudden we see what within our heart we were holding on to. All of a sudden we see that there's a battle that's been going on the whole time, and just now we're getting it. Just now we're understanding and we're exposing an area of deficiency within our heart, and that is the Spirit at work within you. That happens when you allow the full light of God to come in and you're not eclipsing Him in some way. You're not eclipsing Him either by total eclipse, which is just walking away and saying that you don't have anything to do with the sun, or by partial eclipse, where you allow Him in some areas of your life, but you don't fully allow Him in. The only way that we're ever going to receive from God what we really need to receive from God is by allowing everything to get out of the way, allowing it to pass through and go on. Adjust the frequency of our mind. Adjust ourselves to the point where we are in tune with what God is trying to do for us today. And we need to just truly empower ourselves by allowing His Spirit to take hold. Are you eclipsing Him in your life today? Remember the value of solitude in your life. Remember what value there might be in getting away and allowing that solitude to take hold. You know, I talked about it a little bit last week, but there is value in it. And let me give you a reason why. Mark 1:35, it says, while it was still dark, He went out to a lonely place and there He prayed. That's Jesus. There's great value in solitude, and Jesus understood that. And He even went and spent time with His Heavenly Father. And I can list for you a number of places, but write these scripture down if you want to check me on this. But Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus began His ministry with 40 days alone in the desert. Luke 6:12, He chose the 12 disciples after He spent time alone. Matthew 14:13, when He received news of John the Baptist's death, He went to be alone. Matthew 14:23, after He fed the 5,000, He went to find a time of solitude. Luke 5:16, after the healing of the leper, He went to find time alone. Matthew 17:1-9, before the transfiguration, Jesus went to be alone. And Matthew 26:36-46, before His arrest, trial, and execution on the cross, Jesus spent time alone. Does that mean that Jesus was looking for time away from the fellowship? No. It means that Jesus spent time to get alone with His Father. He spent time to get alone with God so that He could truly discern what God's will for His life was. He made sure that everything else was out of the way, so that the light could fully shine in the moment and allow Him to see what God's plans for Him were. Because Jesus understood what happened when you allow things to eclipse God in your life. We need to walk, pray, sing, survey God's creation. We need to do all things by allowing Him to shine as bright as He possibly can. We'll talk about why we need to allow Him to shine as bright as He possibly can. And we need to talk about all of that other stuff in the next couple of weeks, because it talked about the moon. The moon's not done yet. And honestly, we're a lot more like the moon than you think. And we will talk about that. But I want to wrap it up this way this morning. Psalm 124:1. David writes, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Look around you today. Look at the creation around you and allow God's light to fully shine in your life. And Psalm 121:1-2 tells us this: "I will lift mine eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Where does your help come from today? Where does your help come from today? Are you looking for the light of the sun to infiltrate your life in many ways, to where you grow and you are nurtured? Remember, He offers us that living water. He offers us water that will help us to grow. He is the water. He is the life. He is everything we need. And He is the light. He's not just the life. He's the light. Plants, the way they grow, they take the light from the sun and they use that for energy. Folks, if we have reached a moment in our lives where we have no energy today, if you reach a moment spiritually where you feel run down, where you feel left alone, where you feel there's nothing left for you, then I think maybe what you want to do is look and make sure that you're not eclipsing God's light somehow, somewhere. You know, I got to thinking about this a little bit, actually. And Joe, this might hit home with you. the plants that are out there in that, in the planter out there around the side. We had a lot of trouble keeping some of those alive this year. Why? I don't know. But as I watched this thing one day, and the shadows, the way that the sun moves, some of those plants require a certain amount of sunlight. Well, the sun, the way that it moves in the sky, the shadow of the sun falls in certain points at certain times, some longer than others. Yes, I did actually sit out here one day and just watch. And you'd think it's a lot less interesting watching the sun move like that, but when you're thinking about it, I mean, even right now, one of the plants that we never could keep alive, this is the point of the day where it just sits in darkness. Yeah, there's light around it. You can see it because there is light around it, but it's in darkness because it couldn't receive the nutrients from the sun. There's a chance that that's what caused it, because we were giving it water. We were trying to make it live. It just couldn't. Folks, that's the way it is with us. We may not understand, we may not see, we may not know, but things are not going to grow properly if they're not getting what is required to live. You're not going to grow properly spiritually if you're not getting what is required to live. Find time to solitude. Find time to get away to solitude so that you can have a moment with God. Find time like Jesus did before he made big decisions. Before, after he had big events. You know why it was important that Jesus got away? We've already talked about it a few weeks ago. Elijah, when he had the big disappointment, depression in his life, it came after one of the biggest events of his life. But he didn't get away with God. And when he finally did get away with God, God was like, why are you here? And he didn't even know that. But we need to find those moments where we get away with God, and we find those times where he speaks to us and he speaks in us. Because it's only then that then he can speak through us. Because we have allowed him, we have let him have control. And we have let this same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus didn't think that it was a problem, but he obeyed. And he went to the cross and died for us because he allowed the full light of God to shine. And in turn, he was a reflection of that light. But I don't want to give too much away about what the moon does. As we close today, 2:19, we're going to talk about who Jesus is in this song. But if you've got a decision to make, make it. But turn to 2:19, stand if you can.